Praise the Lord, everyone. Well, this is a little different. It's about 4:30 p.m., and we're going to have church a little early today to stay ahead of the weather. There's supposed to be rain and ice and snow and all sorts of things starting around 6 o'clock, so we're having a little early, and if we are going to be broadcasting this, rebroadcasting this service later on at 7 p.m., so yeah, we're still going to have church. It's been a while since we've been here on a Wednesday night. We missed the last two, and we didn't want to miss three in a row. So here we are, and we're going to open with a prayer. Father in heaven, we come before thee in prayer this night, thanking thee for all that thou hast done. We thank thee for this privilege to come before thee, to gather in thy name. And we pray, Lord, that thy spirit would be here this night. We pray, O God, that thou would inhabit the praises of thy people. And we pray, O God, that our worship would be acceptable unto thee. We ask for thy blessing to be upon this service. Let thy anointing be here. Let the presence of thy Holy Ghost be upon each and every one of us. And we ask this, we pray this, in the name of the Lord Jesus, through the power of thy saving blood. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, we are going to start with number 11 in the chorus book tonight. Let's just praise the Lord. Number 11. Let's just praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let's just lift our hearts toward heaven and praise the Lord. Let's just praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let's just lift our hearts toward heaven and praise the Lord. Let's just praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Let's just lift our hands toward heaven and praise the Lord. Let's just praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Let's just lift our hands toward heaven and praise the Lord. Let's just praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord, Jesus.
We're going to turn now to number 115 and sing, I Will Enter His Gates. Number 115. I will enter His gates with thanksgiving in my heart. I will enter His courts with praise. I will say, this is the day that the Lord hath made. I will rejoice, for He hath made me glad. He hath made me glad, He hath made me glad. I will rejoice, for He hath made me glad. He hath made me glad, He hath made me glad. I will rejoice, for He hath made me glad. I will enter His gates with thanksgiving in my heart. I will enter His courts with praise. I will say, this is the day that the Lord hath made. I will rejoice, for He hath made. He hath made me glad, He hath made me glad. I will rejoice, for He hath made me glad. He hath made me glad, He hath made me glad. I will rejoice, for He hath made me glad. I will enter His gates with thanksgiving in my heart. I will enter His courts with praise. I will say, this is the day that the Lord hath made. I will rejoice, for He hath made me glad. He hath made me glad, He hath made me glad. I will rejoice, for He hath made me glad. He hath made me glad, He hath made me glad. I will rejoice, for He hath made me glad. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, we're going to turn now to number 42 and sing, Thank You, Lord, for Saving My Soul. Number 42. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole. Thank you, Lord, for giving to me thy great salvation so rich and free. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole. My great salvation, so rich and free. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. to me, thy great salvation, so rich and free. Praise the Lord. God. Praise the Lord. Well, we're going to sing one more chorus in just a moment. I did put the basket out front in case anybody wants to put anything in, but just to save a little time, we're going to do it that way tonight. And we are going to take a moment here and pray for Barb. She's been dealing with a cold, and I know how she feels. I had one too, and it sounds like her symptoms are very similar. She's got a lot of chest congestion right now, and that can be very painful, very hard to deal with. It can make it difficult to breathe, so we're going to pray for Barb right now and ask the Lord to take this away. Father in heaven, we come before thee in prayer this night on behalf of Barb, praying, O God, that thou would reach down from heaven. We pray, O God, that thou would comfort her soul. We pray, O God, that thou would take this illness away. We pray that thou would take this cold and that thou would take it swiftly. We pray, O God, that thou would heal her completely, that she would be made 100% whole. O God, help her, we pray, strengthen her by thy mighty hand, for we know that thou art our healer. We know that thou art our almighty God, and we know that thou can do all things. So we bring this petition before thee, and we pray for our dear sister Barb. Touch her now, we pray. We ask this in Jesus' name. And Father in heaven, we also pray for all thy people here tonight and all those in this state and in this weather system. We pray, O God, that thou would get us all home safely and watch over us, we pray. And we ask this in the name of the Lord Jesus, through the power of thy saving blood. Amen. Praise God. Well, we're going to sing one more chorus before we turn this over to Shirley for the night. Number 171, I'm Satisfied with Jesus. I'm satisfied with Jesus. I'm satisfied with Jesus. I'm satisfied with Jesus in my soul. Oh yes, I'm satisfied with Jesus. I'm satisfied with Jesus. I'm satisfied with Jesus in my soul. And you can't make me doubt it. No, you can't make me doubt it. Well, you can't make me doubt it in my soul. Well, now you can't make me doubt it. No, you can't make me doubt it. Well, you can't make me doubt it in my soul. I'm satisfied with Jesus. I'm satisfied with Jesus. I'm satisfied with Jesus in my soul. Oh yes, I'm satisfied with Jesus. I'm satisfied with Jesus. I'm satisfied with Jesus in my soul. Now you can't make me doubt it. No, you can't make me doubt it. Well, you can't make me doubt it in my soul. Well, now you can't make me doubt it. No, you can't make me doubt it. No, you can't make me doubt it in my soul. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, God. Praise God.
Thank
Praise the Lord. We are going to turn this over to Shirley now and see what the Lord has put on her heart. Praise God.
Well, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. It is a blessing to be the child of the Lord. You know, we could be just like everybody else out there who doesn't know Jesus. And oh my, all the confusion of this world and all the trouble, all the false religions. But yet we have so much. God has blessed us so richly. You know, we can sing those songs because yes, the Lord has touched us. We know that we've been with Jesus, and we're not going to doubt it. We don't need to doubt it. It's very real to us. God is real. Praise the Lord. And I'm so thankful that we have that knowledge and that He has reached out to us. Praise the Lord. We're going to pray as we begin here tonight and ask God to be here. Well, praise the Lord. This is a new experience all the way around here. But God is with us. Amen. Praise the Lord. Oh, Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you, Jesus. Oh, God, we thank you, oh, Lord, for your precious word. We thank you for this opportunity where we could gather here. Oh, Lord, and we thank you for the blessings that you've bestowed upon us, thy keeping power, thy ability to, oh, God, to talk to our hearts and, oh, God, to reassure us, to give us that strength that we don't have of ourselves. Oh, Lord, we just thank you, Jesus. Oh, God, I pray that you'd be here, Lord, that you'd be here with this little message, and I pray that you'd use it. Oh, God, we need you, and I pray, oh, God, that you give us the understanding that we need. Oh, God, that you draw us ever close to you, Lord, and oh, God, that you give us the zeal of the Lord of hosts, Lord, and oh, God, that you talk to our hearts. We need you here tonight. I pray, oh, God, that you would meet the needs of your people. Oh, God, wherever they are and whatever they're doing, oh, God, I pray that you would call, oh, Lord, people to repentance here tonight. Oh, God, I pray, oh, Lord, that you would move with the Holy Ghost. And, oh, Lord, that the needs would be met, oh, Lord, that, oh, God, our cup would be full and running over. And, oh, God, that we would be strengthened with might from above. Oh, Lord, in Jesus' name we ask that you would give us, oh, Lord, that which we have need of. To use this, Lord. Did you give me the words, oh God, the anointing, the ability, oh God, all that comes from thee, Lord. I ask this in Jesus' precious name, by the power of the blood. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Yes, we do need the Lord. We've had a lot of strange weather, and it looks like, well, already it's plenty strange out there. But it's supposed to get stranger. So thank God we could come here together this afternoon and bring this word and worship the Lord here together. Thank the Lord. He made a way. Praise the Lord. So we pray that the Lord would use this. And, oh, yes, that he would have his way here tonight. Praise God. We're going to go to Isaiah chapter 59 here to begin. And we're going to call this message, Arise, Shine, Thy Light Has Come. Praise the Lord. Oh my, we are so privileged to live in this time period. You know, we know that this is the day when we sing that song, this is the day that the Lord hath made. I believe that scripture there from Psalms 118 pertains to the new covenant period. Oh, because how they looked forward to the day when the light would shine. Oh, yes, when the darkness would be, oh, taken out of the way because Jesus Christ came into this world. And what a privilege it is. Praise the Lord. Arise, shine, thy light has come. As we begin this here tonight, we're starting here, as I said, in Isaiah, the 59th chapter. And I'm going to start with verse 9. And these verses right here, I believe we have a description of the spiritual darkness that was in the world before the Lord Jesus came into the scene and came into this world. And it's quite a description. Let's look at it here. Verse 9 here, Isaiah 59. It says, "Therefore is judgment far from us, neither doth justice overtake us. We wait for light, but behold obscurity, for brightness, but we walk in darkness." What a description this is. Oh yes, things have gone awry here according to this. Judgment is far away. Justice is not to be found. And there's a waiting. There's a waiting for the one that they've been waiting for. They've been waiting for the light. They've been waiting for the Messiah. He has not yet come. And all there is darkness. And they say here in the scripture, but behold obscurity. Oh, everything is vague. You know, nothing is clear. It says for brightness, but we walk in darkness. Well, I'll tell you what, it's no fun to walk in darkness, is it? You know, I'm grateful for just a little bit of light. You know, say it's a dark night and we have to do a little bit of things outside. You know, I'm grateful if the stars are shining and there's a moon up there. You know, it helps. You're on a dark road and you go into, you know, the countryside and there's not many lights. My, it's just wonderful, you know, to have a little bit of light. Even car lights help a great deal. But what if it was completely dark? There was no light, not even a little flashlight. And here you are. Well, that's how it was spiritually before Jesus Christ came. Verse 10 says, "We grope for the wall like the blind, and we grope as if we had no eyes. We stumble at noonday as in the night. We are in desolate places as dead men." Oh, what a description this verse also gives here, that groping for the wall like you were blind, just trying to find something, you know, that you could feel so you could, you know, have a place to, you know, put your feet and to walk and, you know, as if you didn't have any eyes at all. You know, we had a little bit of experience just this last weekend, well, Sunday, and we went to Fond du Lac to be with my son and daughter-in-law and my granddaughters, and it was birthday, and anyway, so we hadn't always made it there. This time of year is so iffy here, but anyway, we decided to go, and it was, you know, it was a little iffy even on our way there. But coming back, oh, the fog was so heavy. It was so heavy, and I didn't dare go all that fast. I might have gone 60 at the fastest, perhaps, or, you know, I think it was probably 50 a lot of times that everybody was passing me. And it was really something because, you know, people would pass with their cars, and I would see their lights for just, you know, a few seconds. And then the lights would disappear. One time, even a semi passed me, and you know, it was so amazing because before I knew it, it was like that semi had vanished into the fog. But that was just a little glimpse of what it's like when the light is obscure and you can't see very well at all. But this is the description that we have here of the spiritual blindness. Again, as we said, before Jesus Christ came to this world. Oh, yeah, so groping. Oh, trying to find a wall as if we had no eyes and stumbling, you know, in the noontime as if it were night. All of those things in desolate places, barren, for places that are deserted as dead men. No, yes, we were so dead in our trespasses and sins before the Lord Jesus found us. Oh, we were all in that spiritual pit where, oh, we were groping. We didn't know where to go. We didn't know what to do. We didn't know where the answers were. We were just hoping that, oh, yeah, that things would end up all right. And it says in verse 11, we roar all like bears and mourn sore like doves. We look for judgment, but there is none. For salvation, but it is far off. Oh, everybody doing what they thought was good in their own eyes. No measuring stick to say, this is the way, walk in it. When you go to the right or when you go to the left. But it wasn't like that. Everything was far off and vague and no real judgment. No real measuring stick. Yeah, and you know that's the way it is. People who do not esteem God's word, they are living in confusion. It's only then according to their own perception, their own thoughts. But I thank God that he has given us something, oh, that's established. Something that's sure, something that is true, something that we can stand on. We can stand on God's word. We can know of a truth that it is true. And we can walk in its ways. We can walk in its precepts. And thank God. Thank God for that. We don't have to live in confusion. But here it says in verse 12, for our transgressions are multiplied before thee, and our sins testify against us. For our transgressions are with us, and as for our iniquities, we know them. That is the hopeless state of sin. Oh, yes, those transgressions, those sins. How do I get rid of this? How do I get rid of this luggage on my back, these sins that are burdening me over, and I don't know how to get rid of them. Yes, because Jesus had not yet come. There was yet no full atonement for sin. It says in verse 13, in transgressing and lying against the Lord and departing away from our God, speaking oppression and revolt, conceiving and uttering from the heart words of falsehood. Oh, such a condition that world was in. I think it's similar to that even in this time period. I think of what Paul wrote in 2 Timothy, the 4th chapter there. That third verse where he said, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. But after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned into fables. Why is it right now that it seems that people would rather hear a fable? They'd rather believe that Harry Potter materials are fitting for Sunday school and for children to read and you know, to focus on. They'd rather believe in C.S. Lewis materials than the established Word of God. Oh, they've turned to other versions of the Bible that take away from the things that are written in this King James Bible. That's the world that we're living in. Oh, yes, people that have embraced Schofield and all those other little theories that are not sound doctrine. And so many people have grabbed on to those. I do believe that we are living in that time where people, for the hope, do not live or do not want sound doctrine, but would rather do the thing that is preferable, that's easier, you know, and you know, they don't want to hear anything too hard, anything too difficult, you know, they don't want to, you know, get too far off, you know, mainstream, all that sort of thing. But oh my, isn't it time to look for those old paths? Wherein is a good way, and walk therein. Oh, yes, as Jeremiah wrote, the 6th chapter of Jeremiah. Isn't it time to get right back to the precepts of God, the things that are established in heaven, the word of life that has not changed? For as we know, as God has changed, for as we know, as men have changed, God does not change. He does not alter his word. You know, he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's God and he changes not. Praise the Lord. Amen. But what a condition is described here in Isaiah, this 59th chapter. Again, that 13th verse. In transgressing and lying against the Lord and departing away from our God, speaking oppression and revolt, conceiving and uttering from the heart words of falsehood, and judgment is turned away backward, and justice standeth afar off, for truth is fallen in the street, and equity cannot enter. Oh, it's so amazing how this same description fits today, and the way people seem to think, and the way they behave themselves, the lack of esteem for truth. Surely it has fallen in the street. And oh yes, God's equity just doesn't seem to have a place in the lives of so many people. It says in verse 15, yea, truth faileth, and he that departeth from evil maketh himself a prey. And the Lord saw it, and it displeased him that there was no judgment. And he saw that there was no man, and wondered that there was no intercessor. Therefore his arm brought salvation unto him, and his righteousness it sustained him. For he put on righteousness as a breastplate, and a helmet of salvation upon his head. And he put on the garments of vengeance for clothing, and was clad with zeal as a cloak. All that time is coming when God's vengeance is going to be realized. Oh, as he has declared, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord, I will repay. Oh, we don't have to worry about all those little petty things that seem unright, or unjust, and inappropriate, and scandalous, and everything else. Oh, there's a time to speak out against it. But the one that judges will have his day. That day will come forth when the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords will show himself and will declare his word. And oh yes, it will be known. And surely at that moment, they will know the vengeance of our God. But here it is, yes, such as it was, God seeing no man, seeing no intercessor. But praise the Lord, God Almighty making a way. It says, therefore his arm brought salvation unto him, and his righteousness it sustained him. Oh, praise the Lord, God in heaven saw this pathetic condition of man. Oh, saw that truth had fallen in the street, and in those that would depart from iniquity were actually making themselves a prey. And how displeased he was. Thank God there was a plan. Oh, our merciful God put on flesh. He extended his arm. He came forth as an extension. Oh, yes, to bring forth salvation to this world that was in great, great darkness. Praise the Lord, he came forth to give us hope in the midst of all of this. So praise the Lord, his arm brought salvation unto him, and his righteousness it sustained him. Oh yes, our God, our Savior who came to this world and lived in this world, put himself under his own law and kept it perfectly. Praise the Lord, his righteousness, it sustained him. For he put on righteousness as a breastplate, and a helmet of salvation upon his head. He put on the garments of vengeance for clothing and was clad with zeal as a cloak. Oh, the zeal of the Lord of hosts. He was going to come to this world to accomplish his plan. And praise the Lord, he did that. He was clothed with that zeal. Verse 18 says, according to their deeds, accordingly he will repay fury to his adversaries, recompense to his enemies, to the islands he will repay recompense. Praise the Lord, that day is coming back, is coming when he will pay back according to their deeds. And justice will be accomplished. Oh yes, our God who has witnessed all the events of this world. Oh yes, who has known the hearts of every man, woman, and child that has ever lived. Oh yes, he will know how to just fairly and mercifully according to his ways, according to his precepts, according to the knowledge that individuals had. He will come, and oh yes, there's going to be fury to his adversaries, those that opposed them, those that stood in the way. Oh yes, those that neglected, there's going to be fury in that case. Recompense to his enemies, the big payback day. To the islands he will repay recompense. Oh, according to their deeds, he will make it right. So it says in verse 19, so shall they fear the name of the Lord from the west, and his glory from the rising of the sun. When the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him. And praise the Lord, we as God's children are opposed many, many times. But praise the Lord, we have a banner that we can lift up. We have the name of Jesus Christ. We have authority in him. Yes, we can stand up against the flood of evil. We can stand up against the opposition. Praise the Lord, when the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him. Oh, praise the Lord. And it tells us in verse 20, and the Redeemer shall come to Zion and unto them that turn from transgression in Jacob, saith the Lord. Oh, that wonderful day that was prophesied. Oh, yes, that the Redeemer would come. He's going to come. He's going to come. He's going to come unto them that turned from transgression in Jacob, saith the Lord. Those, oh, yes, that would repent and acknowledge their sin and turn away from them. Praise the Lord. There was hope. The Redeemer was coming to find his people. Those that would turn away from sin. So it tells us in verse 21, as for me, this is my covenant with them, saith the Lord. My spirit that is upon thee, and my words which I have put in thy mouth, shall not depart out of thy mouth, nor out of the mouth of thy seed, nor out of the mouth of thy seed's seed, saith the Lord, from henceforth and forever. I look at this verse and I think, here we are, we're 2,000 years beyond the life of Jesus Christ. And that word that he put in the mouth of his prophets, that word that he declared, that word that is written in the Holy Book, that word has not departed. We still have his word. It's still valid for now. It's still the same today. It has not altered or changed. And as it has been promised, even here, oh yes, it's not going to depart. Thus, those words that God has established. Oh yes, as he was talking to Isaiah, those words that I put in thy mouth, they're not going to depart. You know, they're not going to depart out of thy mouth, nor out of the mouth of thy seed, nor out of the mouth of thy seed's seed. In other words, throughout the generations. The word of life was going to continue. Oh, there was going to be a witness, even, yes, in this very end time before the coming of our Lord. Nothing would stop it. It was going to continue from henceforth and forever. Praise the Lord. Even until this very moment, we have the word of life. Oh, praise our God. Thank our God for his wonderfulness to us. And as he said, lo, I am with you always, even until the end of the world. And so it is. Praise the Lord. But now let's get into chapter 60 here. And verse 1 reads, arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. But the Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee. We had that description that we read there from the 59th chapter there. Oh, the darkness of the obscurity. How they were groping as blind. Oh, just looking for light. Any light. Just a little light. And it wasn't there. It wasn't there until the Redeemer came. Praise God, the moment. Oh, yes, when Jesus Christ came forth. Oh, yes, it says, arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. But the Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee. Oh, how things change when our God comes into the scene. That transforming power of God. You know, people that are groping out there in the darkness, who quite possibly don't even know what is right and what is wrong. Everything is so obscure in this present world. But what a wonderful thing it is when the light begins to shine. People begin to see their great need. Oh, and realize, I need a Savior. Oh, yes, I need to repent. I need to turn my life over to God. Oh, that is a wonderful thing. Because we all walked in the darkness. Oh, yes, that gross darkness that covered the people, that made it impossible to see the light. And at this time that the prophets lived, it had not yet shone forth. But praise the Lord, there was that day, that glorious day, when the light came forth. And it tells us in verse 3, and the Gentiles shall come to thy light, and kings to the brightness of thy rising. Lift up thine eyes round about and see. All they gather themselves together. They come to thee. Thy sons shall come from far. Thy daughters shall be nursed at thy side. Then thou shalt see and flow together, and thine heart shall fear and be enlarged, because the abundance of the sea shall be converted unto thee. The forces of the Gentiles shall come unto thee. And what a moment that was. You know, there were those wise men in the east. And what a moment it must have been when they saw a star in the sky, and it spoke to them. They could tell from that star that there was a king that was born. And it came to them, it came to their hearts to go to Israel and find that king. Well, what an amazing thing that was. As it tells us in the second chapter of Matthew. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he that is born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him." When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet," there from Micah, the 5th chapter, verse 2, "And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah? For out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel." And of course, Herod was greatly alarmed. And oh my, we will put that fable to rest that there were three wise men that came. Oh my, no. There were hordes of wise men that came from the east. And Herod was very shaken by this event. And I believe this description that we have here in Isaiah 60 describes it. It says, "The multitude of camels shall cover thee, the dromedaries of Midian and Ephah, all they from Sheba shall come. They shall bring gold and incense, and they shall show forth the praises of the Lord." Oh yes, as it says in verse 5 here in Isaiah, Herod was shaken. It says, "Thine heart shall fear and be enlarged, because of the abundance of the sea shall be converted unto thee. The forces of the Gentiles shall come unto thee." And yes, it goes on to say, it's multitudes of camels that came into Jerusalem. "The multitude of camels shall cover thee." You know, there were scores of them coming into Jerusalem and demanding where to find the king. "Dromedaries of Midian and Ephah, all they from Sheba shall come. They shall bring gold and incense, and they shall show forth the praises of the Lord." You know, this is all pretty remarkable scripture. Oh, yes, because when we consider it here, Midian, who is mentioned, happened to be the fourth son of Abraham, and Keturah, the woman he married after Sarah died, there in the 25th chapter of Genesis. And Ephah is actually the eldest son of Midian, therefore the grandson of Abraham. And Sheba was also a grandson. He was a son of Joktan, and who was also a son of Abraham and Keturah. And so here it is. It's quite amazing. These people that came from the east, and you know, there in the 25th chapter of Genesis, it tells us that all the inheritance went to the promised son. But those that were born of Keturah were given gifts, and they were sent eastward. So, you know, it's pretty amazing. Yes, Isaac was the one that the seed was to come forth. So he was the one that gained the inheritance. But the others that came forth later were giving gifts, and they were sent eastward. Here we have these wise men that came from the east to inquire of the Lord. I just think this is remarkable. And they were bringing gifts, and there was something in their heart, you know, that they came to show forth the praises of the Lord. I believe the Lord had put that deep within them. And even, you know, even though, you know, the seed came forth from Isaac, yet here they were, descendants there of Abraham, and they had it in their heart to come forth and show forth the praises of our God. Really remarkable. Praise the Lord. And then in verse 7 here, in Isaiah here, it says, all the flocks of Kedar shall be gathered together unto thee. The rams of Nebaioth shall minister unto thee. They shall come up with acceptance on mine altar, and I will glorify the house of my glory. You know, let's consider this for a moment too, because I just think this is so interesting. Likewise, Kedar and Nebaioth were actually sons of Ishmael. Isn't this amazing how they are connected here? And so, yes, it talks about those that were descendants of Kedar and Nebaioth would come forth and also minister unto the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the Lord Jesus. And they would be accepted, it says here. Interesting verse. All the flocks of Kedar shall be gathered together unto thee. The rams of Nebaioth shall minister unto thee. They shall come up with acceptance on mine altar, and I will glorify the house of my glory. Isn't it amazing that the angel of the Lord showed itself initially there to those shepherds that were abiding in the field there by night when the Lord Jesus was born? That's who he appeared to. And I believe that they were nomadic descendants of Kedar and Nebaioth, sons of Ishmael. So amazing how all this works together. So it goes on to say that they would come up with acceptance on mine altar. And oh, we know that beautiful story there from the second chapter of Luke, how, yes, when the angel of the Lord had came upon them and the glory of the Lord had shone round about them, and oh, yes, the glad tidings were given them. Those glad tidings of great joy. Oh, the announcement. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Oh, that news, that good news, the one that they were waiting for, the light that needed to come forth, the one, oh, they had been expecting through all those years and years of time. Oh, yes, the angel first came to those shepherds that were abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. Praise the Lord. And it tells us in the 12th verse of Luke 2, and this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angels a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward man. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. Oh, praise the Lord, how God's word works together. Praise the Lord. Let's continue a little bit more here into Isaiah chapter 60. It says in verse 8, who are these that fly as a cloud and as the doves to the windows? Surely the isles shall wait for me and the ships of Tarshish first, to bring thy sons from far, their silver and their gold with them, unto the name of the Lord thy God and to the Holy One of Israel, because he hath glorified thee. Oh, that great thing that wells within our heart, that comes to us, that, you know, that when we see and understand, just as the shepherds, when they realized what had happened, had that great desire to go and see this great thing which the Lord had done. Oh, it is so beautiful to realize the ways of the Lord. Psalms 18, verse 43 declares, "Thou hast delivered me from the strivings of the people, and thou hast made me the head of the heathen. A people whom I have not known shall serve me. As soon as they hear of me, they shall obey me. The strangers shall submit themselves unto me." I think that's beautiful because, oh, if we were strangers, if we were Gentiles, we were strangers, we were far off from the commonwealth of Israel. But yet the Lord put it within our hearts. Oh, yes, to make search. Oh, to inquire. Oh, yes. Oh, he put it within us so that we might recognize that the Messiah has come, that the light has shined forth. Oh, yes, that we could recognize the significance of all of this. And praise the Lord, yes, that new covenant that the Lord Jesus opened up wasn't just to one specific people, it was to the Jew first and also to the Greek. And praise the Lord, he brought us forth as one body to bring forth the praises of our God and to declare his wonderful works. Oh yes, and to make it known before all that our Lord has come, the light has shone forth, and we can be recipients, we can be heirs, we can be joint heirs with Christ. I thank God, as it tells us in Galatians, the 3rd chapter, "For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free, there is neither male nor female, for ye are all one in Christ Jesus. And if ye be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise." Oh, thank God that he made a way. Oh, yes, as it tells us here in verse 10 here in Isaiah 60, "And the sons of strangers shall build up thy walls, and their kings shall minister unto thee. For in my wrath I smote thee, but in my favor have I had mercy on thee. Therefore thy gates shall be opened continually. They shall not be shut day nor night, that men may bring unto thee the forces of the Gentiles, and that their kings may be brought." What a wonderful message this is here. Oh, this message that the door to salvation is opened. It is open continually. Oh, yes, we can go to the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, at any moment. Oh, yes, we can make intercession. We can cry out. We can call upon him at any times. At any time, those gates are opened continually. That privilege of going before the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords is opened unto us. Oh, at any moment, he's very available. He's very ready to hear our cries and to know of our needs. Oh, our God is asleep. He doesn't slumber. He's always listening for that one that will cry out to him. That voice that is searching, that voice that is in need. Oh, our God hears and cares. Oh, yes, and answers such a cry. Praise the Lord, that promise that he would be found of those when they would search for him with all their hearts. Praise the Lord, our God has made a way. Oh, that we can ascend into the hill of our Lord. Oh, yes, that we can one day stand in his holy place, as the psalmist wrote in Psalms 24. But there's a need there. There's a need to have clean hands and a pure heart. As it says in verse 4 here in Psalms 24, "He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully. He shall receive the blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. This is a generation of them that seek him, that seek thy face, O Jacob. Selah. Oh, the searching heart, the crying heart. Oh, yes, it is crying to find the Lord. Lift up your heads, O you gates. Be ye lift up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord, strong and mighty, the Lord, mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O you gates. Even lift them up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. Selah. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, those everlasting doors. Oh, yes, those gates that are not closed. Those gates that are opened. Oh, yes, that availability that we have to enter in to the place where our God is. Oh, yes, it's a beautiful thing. Therefore, thy gates shall be opened continually. Here in verse 11, Isaiah 60, they shall not be shut day nor night, that man may bring unto thee the forces of the Gentiles, and that their kings may be brought. For the nation and kingdom that will not serve thee shall perish. Yea, those nations shall be utterly wasted. But the people of the Lord, the servants of the Lord, the seed of the Lord, have that privilege. Oh, yes, that great availability, that openness, oh yes, oh, to the place where our God is. How thankful we could be that the light has come, that the light has shined, that the glory of the Lord is risen upon his people. That is a beautiful thing. That is a wonderful thing. That is a privilege that all did not have in the past. When Jesus came, he said in John the 9th chapter, he said, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night is coming when no man can work. Then he said, as long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. And praise the Lord, that light that was in him shines forth from his people. He put that light within us. And Jesus declared it also there in his Sermon on the Mount. Oh, he told us that we, as his children, are the light of the world. He said that a city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. And then the admonishment, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Oh, there is a need. If the light has shone in our hearts, that light needs to shine forth from us. Oh, it needs to be on our countenance, on our face, in our words, in our life, all that we do, what we say. It should be coming forth from the light of Jesus Christ. That which he has done for us, that which he has made available to his children. For as we know, he didn't leave us comfortless, did he? No, his wonderful plan that he had put his spirit within his people, all that light that was in Jesus Christ, he put inside us so that we could be a light, a city that is set on a hill that cannot be hid. Oh, yes, that we can have words to help those that are lost, that we can carry on the good news, the gospel, that which Jesus began to do. We know that generally the light wasn't accepted. And that was the condemnation John wrote in that third chapter of John, that light is come into the world, but men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. They didn't come to Jesus Christ because that light that was in him was going to reflect their evil deeds. It was going to reflect their sins. And you know, when those things showed forth, and there was a great need to get rid of them. But so many people despised that light because they wanted to continue in their sins. They wanted to continue in their trespasses. They wanted to, you know, walk the way of the world, walk the way of the flesh, and not give heed to the glorious gospel. But thank the Lord for those of us. Oh, yes, that light shone and it began to reflect our sin, and we began to see how wicked we were and the great need that we had to turn our lives over to Jesus Christ. Turning to 2 Corinthians, the fourth chapter, it tells us in the first verse here, therefore, seeing we have this ministry as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. Oh, that spirit of repentance that came upon us. Oh, yes, so that, oh, yes, we'd received the gospel, the glorious news. And we therefore renounce those hidden things of dishonesty, all those things of the past, and all that craftiness and all that deceit and all those problems that we had because we were victims of sin. But by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. Oh, yes, we want to walk uprightly. We want to walk pure before all men so that they can see the light. That light that is shown in the world, that light that came, oh, against the darkness, that great and terrible darkness, that thick darkness that could not be penetrated, oh, until the Lord Jesus Christ came. Tells us in verse 3 here in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, but if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. If that light isn't reflected in us, the light of Jesus Christ, then how can they see? How can they know? How can they change? How can they hear if that light is not in us? If we're hiding it under a bushel basket, we're trying to snuff it out, how can they know? If our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Oh, praise the Lord. What a day that was when Jesus Christ came to this world. God robed in flesh. Oh, yes. Oh, put himself in an earthen vessel. Oh, yes, because there were people that he was seeking. There was a people that he was going to reach out and touch. Oh, so that light that was in him could be in his people. So as he commanded that light to shine up out of darkness, and you know how that must have been at the beginning when God created the heavens and the earth, and oh, the earth was in total darkness at that moment. The earth, you know, being void, empty, dark, and all of that, and obscure, you know, nothing at all to be seen, nothing, oh yes, to be felt, and you know, the presence of darkness only, as it was in the beginning. But praise the Lord, that day when the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters, and God said, let there be light, and there was light. Oh, what a wonderful day that was, because the earth had been formed without form. It was void, it was empty, and it was dark. The face of the deep, it was just a watery substance. In no form or shape or anything but darkness. But out of that darkness, God spoke. God spoke and said, let there be light. And there was light. And oh my, things were never the same after that, were they? Oh, that was the beginning of his creative work where, oh yes, he would bring life to this world. But so it was for us too. Because before we knew the Lord Jesus Christ, we were all in the dark. We were all groping as a blind person. We were all searching for something, and perhaps we didn't even know what we were searching for. Maybe we didn't even realize how dark it was. All of that was possible. But as God spoke in the beginning and said, let there be light, God commanded his light to shine out in our dark life so that we might realize our great need, that we might, oh yes, turn our life over to the living God. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. His redemptive plan. Oh, yes. Oh, they had waited. They had longed. Oh, yes. It seemed like that light was never going to come in the days of old. But it did. Praise the Lord that day when Jesus Christ came forth. And the shepherds that were in the field were told the glad and glorious tidings. But so it is. God commanded that light to shine forth. And that flashlight, that little light that he gave us so that we could see, for we were all walking in our own blindness before we knew the Lord. He caused it to shine in such a way that it caused us to repent. Praise the Lord, for God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Oh, the glorious plan of God. Oh, yes, that he would come to this world that had fallen, this world that was so full of sin, this world that was in such a terrible state. God sent forth his Son. Oh, yes, to bring forth a people that would be called by his name's sake. A people, oh, yes, that would see the light and go for it. Oh, yes, that light. Oh, yes, I want to see. Oh, yes, even though it might hurt at the beginning to realize that we're nasty old sinners. But praise the Lord. Oh, what a thing it is when we could turn it over to the Lord and allow that light to shine. And praise the Lord, not only that, but he put his light within us so that we could be that city that is set upon a hill, a city that others can see the glorious gospel, that they can see the works of Jesus Christ through a people that are filled with the Holy Ghost and walking in the light, even as He is the light. Praise the Lord. Yes, if that gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. But if we can embrace that light, if we can carry that light forth, if we can be that city on the hill, oh yes, who knows who might see that light, who might ask for words of life, who might ask for answers. Little old us, little old me, you know, who are we? But how beautiful it is. And as it tells us in verse 7, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. Oh, what He put deep within us, the gift of the Holy Ghost, the treasure that He put within our earthen vessel, the light of the glorious gospel, the light that was in Jesus Christ within a people. Oh, yes, that we might reflect the light of God, that we might be His ambassadors, that we might be His people, that somebody might see that light because it comes from us. Therefore, we can be witnesses in this world. Therefore, we can carry forth the story, the glorious gospel, the story of a risen Savior who has come into this world to seek and to save those that were lost, and how He took us out of our hopeless state. Oh, yes, when everything was so dark and we were groping around like blind people and could not see and did not know and did not even fear the living God. But the light came, the face of Jesus Christ. Oh, yes, to show us our great need, so we could bow our knee while we still have time on this earth. Oh, so we could repent while we still have breath and turn our life over to the living God. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And that light that was in Jesus can be in us. Therefore, we can arise and shine. Shine forth. Because we are reflecting the light that was in Jesus Christ. He has filled us with His Holy Ghost that we might be a light in this world that is dark, this world that is hopeless. But He rises upon His people in such a way that His glory is seen upon us. And praise the Lord, as the Gentiles have availability to come unto Him, so it is the Lord still calls forth those that would hear, those that would heed, those that would come, whosoever will, let him come and drink of the waters of life. Whosoever will, those that will hear, those, oh yes, that will heed. Those that will bend the knee and surrender the heart, let them come. Let them come and drink of the water of life freely. Oh, yes, because it has been freely given us. And praise the Lord, we could be a light unto this world, which so desperately needs the living Savior. Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. Arise and shine. For thy light is come. Praise our God. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Oh, Lord, we worship you and we praise you, God. Oh, God, we need you, Lord. Oh, God, for there is none like unto thee, Lord. And oh, God, this world needs thee, Lord. And I pray, oh, God, that, oh, Lord, you would shine forth through us. Oh, God, that thy light would be in us. Oh, Lord, oh, God, and that this world that is in great darkness would see thee, Lord. And know that, oh, Lord, oh, there is a light that they can come to. Oh, yes, and there is hope in the midst of great darkness. Thank you, Lord. Speak to us and help us, encourage us. Oh, God, help us to go forth with the light and not hide it. But, oh, Lord, let it shine forth, we ask, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Praise our God. Thank the Lord. Amen. Thank our God. Amen. Praise the Lord. In closing, we're going to sing number 156 in the chorus book, If We Walk in the Light, number 156. If we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ cleanseth us from sin. If we walk in the light, as He is in the light. If we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ cleanseth us from sin. If we walk in the light, as He is in the light. If we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ cleanseth us from sin. If we walk in the light, as He is in the light. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. You're dismissed in Jesus' name.